Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. It is great to be back. I miss you guys. We have a lot to get to here on this show. If you're watching live on our FTN YouTube page, smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there in the YouTube section. I always circle back on our YouTube page if you have any hockey questions, any basketball. This is here. It's March. Not only are we back, but baseball is back. And March is one of the best sports months out there. It really is, right? So now, officially today, the beginning of spring training as both sides finally came to an agreement last night. We are going to talk a little bit about the available free agents in MLB, and there's a ton of them, a ton of really big names, especially from the hitting standpoint. Tino Rodriguez is going to stop by. We're going to dive into the hitters and the pitchers and just kind of, you know, we're going to be happy together, I think, right? I think he's going to wear some Mets gear. I already know this. I'm lying to you guys. He's rocking Mets gear. I already know. I saw him earlier before we got on. He's rocking a Mets tee, as he should be. We are going to talk baseball. We're going to hit up all the big four today because that's what March is all about, right? We got NHL and NBA action tonight. Both leagues stretch run into the playoffs. We get the players happening this weekend, which is going to take us into March Madness as it's championship week, Selection Sunday happening. We got Frank Brank, aka Bank. He's going to join the show on Monday. We're going to get into the madness. Man, golf season, NASCAR is happening. It is all happening in March. I still think October is the best sports month because I just love playoff sports, right? You know, you don't have really any golf, but March is pretty good. March is pretty good, too. Not going to lie. A lot to get to, as I said on this show. I missed a lot over the week, and I am happy to be back with you guys. I'm seeing some people hang out here live on our chat. We love that. If you are hanging out with us live on Game Plus Network, we do appreciate you as well. Always a great lineup over at Game Plus Network. But yeah, we do have a lot to get to. Got some NHL picks and some props. We have some NBA picks and some props, and want to go over some of the NFL action that we've seen over the past couple weeks, or actually really week. I landed, and the minute that I landed, I saw Calvin Ridley was suspended for the entire season. Crazy, unbelievable. I bet $1,500 total. I don't have a gambling problem. It's the same thing I say Ridley after every Sunday afternoon. I don't know. There was some footage that popped off on social media and Instagram with some plays from Ridley, you know, some plays where it looked like he was going to take a couple plays to the house, and then, you know, he just runs out of bounds and runs around in a circle and just like falls down. And it just makes me think, like, was he betting on the Falcons to lose? I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I don't know too much. I hear it's some parlays that he bet, but you know, honestly, like you just can't bet on the sport, dude. And that's it. Like, I feel bad. It seems silly, but you just can't put, you know, your job in jeopardy, and you just can't bet on the sport that you play in. You just can't. It's that simple. I don't really feel all that bad for him. But he's suspended at least a year, which is wild, crazy stuff. And I don't know if, you know, he's betting on the Falcons. Like I said, I don't want to speculate. I don't know too much about it. I just know that he's suspended for the year. I know selfishly that I own him in two dynasty leagues. I would be willing to take a first for sure. I understand if you want to buy low on him, but what's the point, right? He's a great player, but is he going to play again next year? And if he plays again next year, where is he playing in the situation? We can talk to Tino a little bit more about that. But that's the first piece of news that landed when I landed. And I thought that was, you know, I thought that was huge. And then Rodgers signs. And then minutes after Rodgers signs, which was reportedly a $200 million 4-year extension, highest paid player in the NFL. Then minutes after that, I feel like maybe an hour or so, Russell Wilson gets traded to Denver. And it was funny to see people who had Broncos futures say, oh no, my 20-1 Broncos bet is done. Rodgers isn't going there. He quickly, the Broncos moved from 20-1 to 25-1. And then Russell got traded. I jumped on the 25-1. Now, I don't think the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. I thought that was pretty good value, right? I mean, we didn't get to 20, then they get to 25-1. And then he gets flipped. And then all of a sudden he jumps to 12-1, the Broncos, that is. That was huge, and it was a big haul. And then Bobby Wagner gets released, and, you know, the Seahawks clearly rebuilding. I thought it was a really good return. We'll get into that in a little bit as well. And then Rodgers takes to social media, like, minutes after the big trade and says, guys, like, hold on, it's still about me here today. It's still about me. You can't believe anything that Rodgers says, and he's an attention seeker, too. So he jumps on social media and says, yeah, the reports are true. I will be back in Green Bay, but the contract is not true. Rodgers. Devontae Adams gets franchise tag. Mike Gesicki gets franchise tag. Chris Godwin gets franchise tag. And then Carson Wentz gets traded. I'm expecting another big trade here to go down in the NFL. We also saw Khalil Mack get traded to the Chargers. Joey Bosa and Mack going to be all over Russell Wilson and company. That's going to be a heck of a race to watch in the AFC West. We're going to break all of that down in a little bit, talk about what it means from a fantasy standpoint, from a betting standpoint. Carson Wentz back inside the NFC East. Right? Who would have thought if you're the Eagles? I mean, Howie Roseman doesn't do a lot well, but he's probably sitting back thinking, all right, got a first for this. You know, it worked out pretty well. Frank Reich couldn't make it work in Indy, who really knows Carson Wentz, who quote unquote stuck his neck out for Mr. Wentz, which was reported a couple weeks ago out of The Athletic. And then now he's back inside the NFC East. I think this is a win for us, Tino, a win for us. So a lot to get to here on this show. We're going to hit on the big four with the NFL, the MLB, NHL, and NBA as well. Speaking of the NHL, these are your three stars from last night. Leading here with Sam Reinhart, who actually, I do believe this was a misprint for myself. I believe he had the Hattie last night set up by Mr. Jonathan Huberdeau. He did. He had a hat trick last night. He's got four goals in his last two games. He's got points in four straight games. He's having a heck of a season. I mean, this is just, you go up and down the Panthers lineup and career years for everybody. You know, for Sam there to have the 22 goals, he's six times out of his last 7 years, he's hit the 20-goal mark. He's got 57 points. His career high is 65. His career high in goals is 25. It looks like he's going to set career highs across the board here with the Panthers. You go up and down the list, right? And you don't see Huberdeau or Ekblad on this list. They each had four assists last night. Huberdeau had four helpers, set up Reinhardt on the empty net to get his hat trick. He's up to 64 assists on the season, which leads everybody in the NHL. And he has 82 points, which leads everybody in the NHL. He had three primary helpers last night. He's got 41 primary assists, which, you guessed it, leads the NHL. Now his 64 assists is a franchise record. We left him off the board because, like I said last week, I wanted to give some plays and three stars in the association and in the NHL, just some waiver wire ads who could potentially help you out for those playing in season long. Maybe you can get something from a betting standpoint out of this, as well as you know, some DFS as well. So a lot of love to the Florida Panthers. You know, last night, another puck line win for them on home ice. Florida at home and the over, a cash in all year long. And then Anders Lee had the Hattie last night as well, a power play goal. He had seven shots on net. He's starting to heat up. We have a bet inside the Bet Tracker of Future on Anders Lee goals over 20. Didn't look like we were going to get there. Now he has 19 on the season after a slow start to the year, recovering from knee surgery and just in and out of the lineup at times. And the Islanders, you know, just looking really brutal to start the season. They were just awful. I mean, 13 straight games on the road to start the year. They just really haven't really found their footing. They're in action again tonight, but for Anders Lee, he's got five goals, 6 points over his last two games, got 10 shots over that span. He can help you out, especially if you're playing in a bangers league. He likes to throw his body around as well. Some nice chemistry there with Brock Nelson, more on Nelson in a little bit. And then Jacob Vrana flipping the puck up. Man, he's just been unbelievable since with the wing. So only two games since he returned to the lineup. He does have, yeah, the two goals last night, the four shots, but he's got three goals in the two games, seven shots. We'll keep an eye on his shot prop. We'll probably get it plus money. Now, he played last year with Detroit after that big trade with Anthony Mantha, who just returned to the lineup for Washington. More on him a little bit later on in the show. But for Jacob Vrana, he's got 11 goals, 14 points, and 39 shots in 13 games with the Wings. Last year, he had 8 goals and 11 points in 11 games to wrap up the season last year. And then now here, a point per game guy, averaging three shots over the 13 games. And he's a sniper as well, a former 24 and 25 goal scorer with Washington. He could help you out. He is available. his price really jumped yesterday on DraftKings up near the 5K mark, which is, you know, sometimes DraftKings sleeps on players a little bit. They weren't on Jacob Ferrando. So there's a couple guys who could certainly help you out there. And one more item before we get out of this first block, always going long, right? Nothing has really changed. We have the QR code. If you're watching here on our YouTube page, on Game Plus Network, You scan this code and it will link up to our sportsbook sign up page with some bonuses there as well. So take advantage of that. Lots of action happening over at FTNBets.com. All right, we did it. We are back. I am loving it. Coaster's Corner. I don't think I hooked you up with the betting package, sir. You won last week, so we will hook you up with that today. We'll have more giveaways next week on Mean Streets as well. We do appreciate you. Saw your sense firsthand. It was a battle. They battled. Josh Norris, a lot of respect for Mr. Norris. All right, more to come here on Mean Streets. Tino's in here next. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network. Chris Mines, we're bringing in Tino Rodriguez. It feels like a minute, doesn't it, Tino? And yes, you are rocking the New York Mets tie-dye. I mean, you got to be super stoked for baseball, right? I mean, let's go. Finally, it's here.
A part of me as a Met fan was selfishly hoping we made it after April at this point because, you know, the Mets are infamous for terrible April. So it's like, you know, can't have a bad April if there's no baseball to play. But it looks like April 7th will be the day. We're going to talk about players here. There's a lot to unpack if you even look at what the agreement is. All I know just from the outside really is that it's going to be a five-year agreement. Four teams voted against it, the New York Mets being one of them, along with the Yankees, the Astros and the Cardinals. A lot of it had to do with money. You know, those big market teams, especially in New York, are going to get hit with big time taxes. So it doesn't look like the Mets, although it would be fun to make the joke about Uncle Stevie's money, will be spending as much as they would have been in free agency. He might be taking it back a little bit to protect his money. But we're going to get some action here. We're going to talk MLB free agency, but this next week is going to be a headache and a half. We'll have a lot of content on Mean Streets. We're going to go from, you know, a lackluster February to overload here in March.
Yeah, it was looking a little bleak last week, right? We're like, yeah, you know, we'll carry the load here with the NHL and the NBA. You know, we'll have some golf stuff. And, you know, we really dove into a lot of MLB futures. We could revisit that maybe next week, but we will hammer home like some season-long stuff, some high-stakes stuff. It looks like we'll have Vlad Sedler to join us on Monday as well. I mean, he's done... I'm really happy for Vlad. I'm happy for everybody that's baseball fans, of course, but I'm super happy for Vlad because I know how much time he put into the MLB package. Like, there is content galore over at FTN Fantasy if you want to dive in. And the early bird special is live, too, so check it out, FTNFantasy.com/pricing. Season-long package. Vlad will be with you throughout the year. Matty Wood, myself, will have some MLB content, waiver wire pickups, streaming content, you name it, absolutely everything. So maybe we could dive a little bit next week back into the futures, but check out our YouTube page if you missed those episodes. We hit up on everything, Tino. We were Cy Young odds, MVP odds, home run leaders, just straight up World Series futures. But let's get into just some of the players that are available. So free agency, quote unquote, began last night. I mean, we haven't seen any action, but I think we're going to really start to see some action. We could see a lot of trades too across the board, like maybe Matt Olson. It looks like the Athletics potentially could sell a bunch of players, right? I think we could see a lot, maybe the Reds, Castillo, certain guys like that. But these are the available free agents, and man, there are a lot of good ones. I kind of rank them in the order that I like them, the most impactful. I put Carlos Correa up at the top, even though I really do love Freddie Freeman, what he has to offer. Correa up at the top at 27 years old. I think the Astros are going to move on from him. I could see them maybe signing Story to like a two-year short-term thing before some of the kids inside their organization are ready to go. But Freddie Freeman, also a big name there at 32 years old. The oldest here on the board. After Nelson Cruz at the bottom there, Chris Bryant, who can play third outfield. He can play absolutely every single position in the bigs. Nice utility guy there at 30 years old, Nick Castellanos. And then C.S. Suzuki played in the Japan League last year, actually for the past few years. really good numbers last year in the Japan League. It's, you know, 38 homers, 26 doubles, hit .317, a .433 on base percentage, chipped in with 9 stolen bases across 132 games. Anthony Rizzo, I don't know if he has a whole lot to offer. I could see him going to George's Red Sox. I don't know. Schwarber's on that list as well, who had some great moments with Boston last year. Your guy, Jorge Soler, just a couple years removed from leading the bigs in home runs against righties and had a phenomenal postseason as the World Series MVP. Michael Conforto, I guess your former guy. Eddie Rosario also in there, has had a really good run with the Atlanta Braves. And then, as I mentioned, Nelson Cruz, who is getting older, but still, I'll tell you what, he still has a lot to offer, man. And he is still one of the better hitters in baseball against southpaws. So let's just kind of break down this list a little bit. We could guess on who, you know, where these guys are going to go, but I'll let you take the mic. Who's the most intriguing name here? And I mean, where do you think they land?
It's got to be Freddie Freeman at the top for me, mainly because, you know, you talk about the World Series winning Atlanta Braves, and yeah, they pieced a lot of it together, and we gave credit to the free agent additions that they made kind of midway through the season, and Soler, Eddie Rosario, a few of them on this list, but Freddie Freeman is the Atlanta Braves. If they lose him with Acuna coming back from his ACL injury, I just don't see them doing much. Like, I think they'd be a shell of themselves, to say the least. You don't lose a guy like Freddie Freeman. And right now, you got big market players in the Yankees and the Dodgers really being linked to him. Look, I don't know if they'll ultimately, you know, if he'll ultimately leave Atlanta. But the fact that it's it didn't get done before this whole ordeal with you know, the players union and everything, and there was an offer on the table, is a bit concerning. And you don't want to be in a bargaining, you know, situation with the Yankees and the Dodgers. Tends to not work out for a team like Atlanta. I do appreciate you saying my guy in Soler. I thought you were going to say Conforto. Would have been triggering. He was tied to the Mets a little bit. They thought that was going to be something that they could possibly do with Chris Bryant. Doesn't look like that's going to happen anymore. But I do think Kyle Schwarber is something, is someone that a team like the Mets or, you know, a big competitive team will do, because he might be getting a 1 to 2 year deal and he can help right now. I think the most interesting thing too is going to see what these contracts look like with the season being so short, and they're still going to try to play 162, yeah. But you're kind of rushing into the season here. We only have a couple of weeks. I love that Nelson Cruz is just there, right? I just love it. He's never going away. I hope he never, you know, he never goes away. 42, God bless. And Carlos Correa, man, you know, Yankee fans are losing their minds. There are two really notable shortstops there, two good young shortstops, and him and Trevor Story. It's anyone's guess where they're going to go. You know, teams have money. I hope they go to competitive teams. Like, I know people are talking about the Mariners looking to spend money, and the Mariners are promising, but the Mariners are the Mariners. They're out in the West. Maybe we do finally see a change in the tide there, right? Maybe the Astros, if they lose Correa, they won't be as good. That's not going to happen. But maybe. Who knows?
I can only hope that they won't be as good. I'm sick of the Astros, the Angels, to tell you what.
Maybe the Angels finally.
They're not signing anyone. Right? None of these hitters they'll sign. Hopefully some pitchers. But
what's crazy, I just went through this entire list, and the one name, and I noticed nobody talks about it, Nick Castellanos. And I know everyone only mentions him for the troll and the meme, but this guy rakes. I don't know where he's going to end up. I think he ends up on a team and immediately helps them out, because he's done that everywhere he's gone since he left the Tigers. He can play ball.
Yeah, those doubles in Detroit turned into home runs in Cincinnati in the great American, quote-unquote, small park, right? Like, I think a lot of people expected. I think everything that I've read about Castellanos is that he wants to play in the outfield. He doesn't want to strictly be DH. So if there's a team that's willing to – and I don't think he's the best fielder, to be honest with you. So if there's a team willing to say, okay, fine, you can play right field and – we'll sign you, right? But I think that kind of limits some of the teams out there. Put that list back on. I'm going to rapid fire through some guests. And if you guys are watching here the replay, leave it there. I'd love to hear your thoughts on maybe it's your favorite team. You'd like to see one of these players go to that team, or maybe some guesses. I think Correa's with the Yankees. I think Freeman stays. I really don't want to see him go to the Dodgers. I think it would be fun for a lot of people north of the border if he landed with the Blue Jays. Man, what a get that would be inside that lineup, right? A nice little lefty bat with all those righty mashers that they have. I think Bryant goes to Miami. You mentioned Miami. I think they are willing to spend some money. I think that they spent on Bryant. I could see Story going to the Astros. I could see Castellanos maybe to the Phillies. Rizzo, I joked about the Red Sox, but I could see that potentially as well. And then these other ones are just like a straight guess. I think I've heard a lot of rumors about Nelson Cruz potentially to the Cardinals or whatnot. But maybe the Miami Marlins are a team that gets two or three of these guys, right? Maybe Conforto or maybe or Bryant.
Yeah, a big piece of news that we didn't mention. Jeter stepped down from the Marlins. How could we forget?
Right.
We didn't really touch on it. We kind of grazed over it. But, I kind of thought Castellanos was going to go to Miami. All signs kind of pointed to it. I think that's kind of where he was raised. I think, the family's over there. The biggest thing, though, apparently the discrepancies with the Marlins is that they didn't expect to spend that much. So I think that's like a very interesting storyline because, again, before this, everyone's writing their checks on where people are going to go. Now, all of a sudden, these taxes, certain things are happening now. Now, we're going to act like it's business as usual, but it's not. So, these things factor in. And also, how poetic if Correa does end up with the Yankees. I mean,
right?
Talk about an emotional fan base. Oh, my God. They hate this guy, but now they need him because their team has to compete and spend money. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the whole smash and trash cans and then, going over to New York. They hate him. They love him. That's just kind of the way it works in sports, right?
Yeah.
It is New York. Let's bring up pitchers, the pitching board. But also, it just feels like Jeter should be with the Yankees organization. It just felt weird in Miami. I think he lands in the front office in New York. So I put Jansen here as the number one guy. He was the number one closer last year. I think he's the best get here, honestly. I still think he has a lot to offer. A team like maybe the Jays could. I think the Jays are linked to him. Obviously, the Dodgers are still linked to him, but I put him up at the top of the board. Carlos Rodon is a guy that I think maybe the Angels could acquire about. Now he's got the shoulder thing, so I think he's okay, but I don't believe he's 100%. So, I mean, you got to proceed with caution there. Clayton Kershaw is another guy. I don't know how much gas he has left in the tank, certainly more than Zach Greinke, who is on this list. You say Kikuchi, I say no thanks. Michael Pineda, I think, is a decent arm at the end of the rotation. And then you got some relievers here. Joe Kelly, I thought Colin McHugh was fantastic last year. Even Boxberger, who had really just a career year in terms of his innings. Like he stayed healthy, which is something that he wasn't able to do. So some relievers there towards the end. Man, where do you think Jansen ends up?
I feel like he should go back to the Dodgers, to be honest. But I don't know what the Dodgers are going to do. They're always going to spend money. It's kind of like they get to pick their poison. It must be nice. I guess now as a Met fan, maybe now I'll be a part of this. But, like, look at the key names that are on there. A lot of former Dodgers. Like, can you see Clayton Kershaw not in a Dodgers uniform either? It's kind of weird, right?
Weird.
The idea.
I could see him going to Texas and following his boy Seager. Like, I could see Texas. They've been. Spending some money, flashy guys.
But there's a very good chance Kenley doesn't go back to the Dodgers, mainly because they're loaded. They don't need him in the bullpen. They also have Brusdar Graterol, who's this high-priced prospect who throws 101 miles an hour like it's nothing, and he's just kind of been the setup man for them forever because Kenley's been holding it down. I think Carlos Rodon is the one name that pops out to me the most, though, on that list. I know, and I got to tie everything to kind of where I'm at as a fan – trying to leave the bias out of it, but I think that's the sweepstake. I know the Mets are looking for arm depth, and you start right there. And you say Kikuchi, no thanks. He's a lefty, right? And teams are going to be in the market for a lefty, so there is a market for him. I agree with you. I'm not the biggest fan either, but lefties are hard to come by nowadays. So it'd be interesting with him and Kershaw. I would love if Kershaw, if we're just going to throw speculatives out there, let me just get all these old aces. Give me Kershaw on the Mets, dude. Why not? Him, Max, DeGrom. Give me all the Cy Youngs. Let's just bring them all. They can all hang out, have some coffee together. It'd be great.
I tell you what. I mean, your MLB The Show franchise team would be pretty good, right, with those guys. Turn injury setting off, and then you just roll with DeGrom and Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw, and you'll be good to go. It'll be one of the better teams to use in MLB The Show. Let's bring up this comment from Mike, and that's my concern as well. Just pray for whoever signs Rodon. I mean, there's a lot of upside there with him, and he was having a really good season, but I am concerned with that shoulder, and it just seems like every pitcher the Angels acquire inside their system is a guy that just can't stay healthy. But I know the Angels are linked. I think they're going to be in on a lot of those names that we just brought up, whether it's a starter or two or maybe some of those bullpen arms, because that's certainly been their issue over the last
I think injuries is going to be an issue no matter what right now, because you saw it with the COVID season. They're going to try to fit
spring.
Exactly. They're going to try to play the spring. They said they can't start the season, you know, without X amount of weeks of spring training. But it's already they're already off regiment, and pitchers are very particular for that reason. So I think right now teams are just going to sign arms and not really worry about the injuries because people are going to go down. You're going to see it. They're going to go down. And it's just really about kind of surviving it and having the bodies to throw in there. And so, yeah, you're always going to worry about injuries. But I think at this point, especially with how the season's projecting, it's get the bodies, get, you know, win the race, get them there at least, and then worry about the injuries later.
What do you think the first domino to fall will be? Is it Freeman? Like when Freeman signs, then maybe, you know, you get the lower key guys like Rizzo, the other first baseman that could flop around. Maybe then Olsen is flipped and you start to see just really first baseman get moved on different teams. Cause there's, I think Freeman is what everybody will be waiting for. Like what happens with him?
Yeah. I don't know when trades will happen. I think that's like a completely out there, like, idea, because I'm not even marking that. That's too much craziness for me. I can't grasp a free agency and trades during this week. Like, it's just too much. Yeah. So we can go speculative on that too. I think Freeman, from everything I'm hearing, people are going to wait to see that because he's probably going to get the biggest deal on that board. I expect him to get a monster deal. If it's not from the Braves, it's from one of those two teams. And then, you know, I wanted to say Chris Bryant. I think it's one of those shortstops because you saw it before, you know, the lockout happened with Seager and, you know, Marcus Semien. Why am I thinking that? No, Semien, right?
Semien signed. Yeah.
Right.
Texas spent dough.
Yeah, and there's only so many left, and you saw the contracts those guys got. I'm not saying you could justify it for these guys, but at the same time, money's going to be thrown around at them, and there are shortstop needy teams with big pockets, in you know, especially in the New York Yankees. So I think probably the shortstops after Freeman or one of those three right there.
It's exciting. Exciting times. MLB will not stop from here. I know right up until opening day, we will have home run props. We'll have props, we'll have team totals, we'll have picks, but we will dive into these free agents when they sign season long, help you guys out in your fantasy drafts. We will revisit futures as well, especially when some of these players land on certain teams. Tino's going to hang by. We are going to switch gears and talk a little football. Not every day you get massive trades. We had a couple here in the NFL, maybe a couple more to happen. So keep your lock. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez here with you. And like I said, before we went to break, a lot of action in the NFL. Russell Wilson, right? Russell Wilson getting traded. I think we speculated a couple weeks ago if he was going to be traded. We threw out Washington and, you know, hearing reports that Washington and Philadelphia, they were both in on trying to acquire Russell Wilson. He axed that trade, said, no thanks, don't want to go there. Let me go to Denver. So that was the big deal. Russell Wilson flipped.
Do you blame him, Meany?
No, I for one, I don't blame him. Well, I mean, come on, what's so bad about Philly, man? Let's go. But I don't blame him for not wanting to go to Washington. It's just like they got off-field drama, on-field drama, right? He wants to go to a contender and try to win. And I think he's landed to a contender, but my goodness, man, the AFC West is absolutely loaded now. What did you make of the move?
I wanted to ask you the question. Do you see them as a contender? Is this like, because I know everyone jumps to it, right? Like naturally, but for me, like it's too like lateral of like you compare it to the Peyton Manning move, and it's like I just need everyone to calm down a little bit. It's just that, you know, Russell Wilson's great. I agree. It's just he's not Peyton Manning, so. Come here. Just bring it down. I think they'll compete, but they had to give up, you know, Shelby Harris as well there. I don't think their defense is as good as everyone thinks they were, you know, as they are. Justin Simmons is great. I think they still have to do a couple things for me to think that they're going to jump a few boxes. We talk about it constantly. The AFC is only getting harder. It's not going to be easy. Like everyone's kind of ripping on the Raiders, right? The Raiders should just quit. The Raiders made the playoffs last year. That's how insane the AFC is. Okay, the Chargers didn't even make it. We're talking about the Chargers not even making a playoff, you know, appearance with Justin Herbert yet. So you want to write those guys in. So you have three teams in that division. We're looking at an NFC West in the AFC now. And so for me, I just think they got their work cut out for them. I think they can compete. I think Russell's a winner, but there's a lot of guys on that team that's unproven. So I'm just like, I'm excited about the move. I think it's good for him. It's definitely better than the NFC East, but I'm not ready to ride him into the Super Bowl yet. I feel like I'm not there like other people are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not there either. I mentioned the Super Bowl future 25-1, which I'm okay with. But now, I mean, that's out the window, right? DK, I'm looking out our free prop shop, FTMBets.com, 12-1. Like, no thanks. 12-1 across the board everywhere. BetMGM has them at 18, but everywhere else is 12-1. FanDuel, DK, PointsBet, Caesars. Like, that's just not a great bet. I saw somebody just tweet me now that they have a Russell Wilson 25-1 MVP bet. I mean, okay, maybe I could potentially get behind that one. I don't know if Russell Wilson has an MVP vote ever. I think Derek Carr might have got one.
I think he might have got one.
Maybe one.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, maybe one. Yeah, I know that Derek Carr had at least one a few years ago before
Carson
he suffered a broken leg.
Carson Wentz
had one that we'll get to him in a minute. Had one that year too that he suffered the knee injury. Let's bring up the board that we have for Russell Wilson and some of the statistics. So I think that the Broncos have a really good squad. I think that they're sound defensively. I think that they're going to have a good run game with Javonte Williams. And I think that they can compete with most teams. The issue that they've had for years is the quarterback play, right? Like all the quarterbacks that they have had over the years. I mean, Brock Osweiler comes to mind as a guy that they drafted in what, the second round, and left Russell Wilson on the board. He also went in that draft in the third round. And here they are 10 years later with Russell Wilson. This is a team that I just feel like most times, you know, they just need to score 21 points to win ball games. But I do think overall, from a fantasy standpoint, this is a downgrade for him. I'd loved him with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. No disrespect to Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. Fant is now gone from the team as well, involved in that trade. Here's some of the numbers from Russ. There's a couple things that stand out. Always an accurate quarterback. Last year was the first year that he missed time. It's been 16 games in every single season, besides last year with the fractured finger. When he came back, he certainly struggled. Yards per attempt inside the top five. His ADOT was the second highest in the NFL. Just behind, like, Drew Lock actually had a higher ADOT than him, but he just didn't have the games and the dropbacks to qualify. But 9.9, and Justin Fields is actually number one. The touchdown interception ratio, always off the charts when it comes to him. These deep pass statistics are from our advanced stats over at FTNFantasy.com, courtesy of FTN Data. 76 deep passes last year. That's passes of at least 20 attempts. You see the note there. He was actually tied with Josh Allen, but I give him the benefit of the doubt because he missed a couple games. So T1, basically number one overall. And then 19% of his passes of at least 20-plus yards. I think that it's a slight downgrade for him. You see the rushing yards. He didn't really run. He's not the same quarterback running 500 yards, 800 yards over the past few years. He's not running around as much anymore. He can. He's very mobile. Might be running for his life inside that division. Finishes QB 15 overall fantasy. But I think this is a win for Cortland Sutton. I think this is a win for Tim Patrick. Like, deep ball guys, jump ball guys like Patrick. Jerry Jeudy's fine. Certainly this is an upgrade for him as well. But I'm excited about a guy like Cortland Sutton. Always among the top in ADOT. Never can haul it in because the passes from Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock and all those other guys that they threw out there were just no good. At least they have an accurate quarterback in Russell Wilson. I think that's, to me, who wins this big deal from a fantasy standpoint is some of the weapons that Broncos do have.
No one's talking about my guy, KJ Hamler. And good, I want nobody to mention his name because when you talk about deep balls, I mean, he's going to be very hit or miss, boom or bust, like, it'll drive you crazy in fantasy. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to drop some plays for this man. I got to see it firsthand in week one. He was carving up the Giants, and Teddy Bridgewater overthrow was exactly why he wasn't able to score there. KJ Hamler got hurt last year. He's a guy that I think you'll probably be able to pick up for free. And in dynasty leagues especially, I think he's a second-year receiver. You're going to just want to stash this guy. I'm telling you, at some point you could throw him out there. He'll be a dart. But, yeah, I agree. I think it's good for those guys. Do you think, I know we kind of did buys and sells, do you think Russell Wilson then would be a sell in Dynasty? You think if you have him, you'd look to field some offers with a little hype around it? Because I think some people might not be thinking the same way you are. I think they might think this helps his fantasy for that reason. Because if you think about how many people are excited about Jerry Jeudy and Albert O now, you haven't even mentioned Albert O, people are going crazy about.
I mean, my goodness, I like him as next as the next person. But if you follow on social media, you need to make this guy available in your dynasty leagues. Everybody's talking about top five, top 10 tight end. Like, let's relax a little bit. I also think the Broncos would probably bring in another tight end. I like him. I think he's great. And redraft, maybe he'll be a top 10. But he's a tight end after all here. Like, if I could get a first or a second for him, I'm flipping him. Like, there's no question. I think if you own Russell Wilson, you make him available, right? There's some hype around his name. He's in a new environment. He's still, like you said, surrounded around really good wide receivers. But, man, it's just going to be a tough division. You mentioned the Raiders making the playoffs. The Chargers are right there. We all also know about the Chiefs. I mean, there are a lot of really good teams that I think we can call it the best division in football.
We're here to talk quarterbacks. They just signed Khalil Mack to put with Nick Bosa. So, I mean, have fun running around.
People, if he thought Aaron Donald was all over him, like, he's getting that was my initial thought, is like, he struggles sometimes in the division, especially against the Rams, like, to get away from the Rams, and all of a sudden, like, the Chargers, right, they get Mack, and they got Bosa, Derwin James. Like, if that team can stay healthy and put it together defensively, it's going to be a mess as well. Carson Wentz was the other name. Let's bring up Carson Wentz. But by the way, I'll bring this up in a second. Carson Wentz, so this is the big trade here. Back inside the NFC East, I do believe that this is a win for us, man. Overall, though, looking at some of Wentz's numbers, I mean, he didn't have a lot of, like, 300-yard passing games. He had several under 200 yards. They were a run-first team in Indy behind a really good line. But at the end of the day, couldn't get it done against the Raiders and against the Jaguars to get into the playoffs. A pretty solid 27-7 touchdown to interception ratio, but again, didn't have a lot of games where he dropped back. 215 rushing yards is more than Russ. This high is, again, courtesy of FTN data, our advanced stats. It's highlight passes, so passes where only the wide receiver could get in tight windows. I thought that was pretty, decent of him to... I wanted to highlight it because top eight is not bad, right? Consider, I know there's a lot of hate on Carson Wentz all the time. That's avoided sacks, 35 inside the top four. Sometimes he hangs onto the ball a little bit too long and I can get him into trouble. This is Washington's 13th quarterback since 2017. So both teams have really just been hurting to try to figure this out at the quarterback position. And also is Terry McLaurin's eighth different quarterback, man. And you know what? This is it for him. It's a one-year thing. They may even draft a quarterback in the first round. If he doesn't figure it this year, he's completely out of the league. But what was your thoughts when you saw this trade go down?
Look, I'm just going to say this. Washington, and I know I'm going to immediately take it back, can't be incompetent enough to the point where they don't draft a quarterback. They just can't. There's no way they don't draft a quarterback. I've been telling you this from the beginning. They still have to draft a quarterback. They should do it in the first round. This is a one-year project. But I will say, I feel like I'm the only one out here who ever said anything nice about Carson Wentz. Like, love him or hate him. Like, yeah, the point of the quarterback position is you don't want a guy that'll lose you games. Wentz will definitely do that, but he's serviceable at times. Like, I think, like, for Washington, and we talked about it, when we were talking about the Jimmy G's of the world, they kind of just need a guy to get the job done back there, right? And I think he'll do that. The issue is those turnovers, and I think that'll definitely burn them from time to time. But, like, it's jokes. It's all jokes. I mean, the guy did get an MVP vote once upon a time. Like, it's in there somewhere. It is. It's in there somewhere. If they don't lose to the Jaguars and implode, the Colts are a playoff team, and we're not having this discussion. He probably still in Indianapolis. So I think it's just very easy to beat a guy while he's down. Yeah, Wentz, love him or hate him, is who he is. And I actually don't think it's that terrible. But I know you would love this one, is Wentz against Hurts two times a year. I wrote it in the chat. Awesome. But is there any way we can get Doug Peterson to come from Jacksonville just to fly in and maybe do, like, one of those, just do some play calls for both teams? Just call both sides and just see what happens. Just see which quarterback actually wins it under Doug Peterson. The people need it.
That's going to be fun. I do believe Wentz has a game in Indy this year as well in the schedule. And nice. I know that Russell Wilson will travel to Seattle, too, to face the Seahawks. So, I mean, a lot of fun in there. We do got to get out of here. We could revisit this. I had a list of the quarterbacks here. Actually, rapid fire through this in Denver over the years. Simeon, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, Kendall Hinton. Remember him? I actually picked him up to rock with him as a wide receiver. He got me negative fantasy points. Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. This is a list of Washington over the years. Obviously, Kirk Cousins for the three. Alex Smith, Josh Johnson, Colt McCoy, Mark Sanchez, Case Keenum, Dwayne Haskins, Colt McCoy again, Alex Smith, Kyle Allen, Tyler Heineke, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Garrett Gilbert. That's just over the last 4 years. That's it. It's over the last 4 years. This is the ninth quarterback. I said eighth, the ninth that Terry McLaurin will have. I don't think it's all that bad. I don't think it's all that bad for McLaurin. Yeah. Pittman was fine with
Indy. Can't
be
worse.
Fine with
Indy. You think it can't be worse. What a name. What names you just dropped. Denver's quarterbacks. Like, they used to have that jersey with Browns quarterbacks. Denver's, I think, is worse. I want to list those two together. I'd love a vote on that. But we do
unbelievable. We do got to get out of here. I just don't think it's going to work, man. I love Carson Wentz. I root for him. Even with Washington, I'm going to root for the guy to have success. But I just, if he can't figure it out with Frank Reich, who was familiar with him and thought he could figure it out, and they just cut ties after year one, a lot of talk about leadership qualities as well that he doesn't have. So it is what it is. Hopefully another trade here to break down, but we'll switch gears again. We've got some NBA picks in here next. Several games in the association here tonight. No time to talk about your Nets. We'll save it for another day. But I know you were all smiles last night. I know that. Big time.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was the greatest basketball game in the regular season I think I've ever watched. They lost by 30, the Philadelphia 76ers. And I want all Sixers fans and people who said that that's the best duo of all time to please show yourselves. Now is not a time to hide. Let's get into the picks. We don't have time to do this. I'm going to start with kind of a spicier pick here, and I'm going to go with my guys. You know I love the Cleveland Cavaliers. Betting against Miami at home is insane, and I love the Miami Heat as well, but 7.5 points is far too much for a team that's beaten the Heat and owned the Heat the two times they played them this season. They played in Miami and won by 30, and then they also won by home at home by 11. I think that he get the revenge today, but you know, I did have the luxury of being in Miami. I got to see them play the Rockets, and although they pushed their 17-point spread, they started out very slow. So I think at the very worst, if you can get first half Cleveland Cavaliers, maybe 3.5, I think that's a great play as well. But I love the 7.5 for the Cavs. I think they're great against the spread as well. So two teams great against the spread. Something's got to give. I'll take the Cleveland Cavaliers in that. Then I'm going to go with the Charlotte Hornets. They're 2.5-point favorites against New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans have kind of turned a corner since McCollum has joined them. But yeah, but no Brandon Ingram. And this is the time of year, man. The Charlotte Hornets are in the 9th seed. They're like on the way out of the playoff picture if they continue to do what they're doing right now. They haven't played this season, but no Brandon Ingram. I don't know what's going on with CJ. It says he's out. Here, I'm looking at ESPN. I got to go to RotoWire to fully confirm. But you know how this is. It's the NBA, so wait until tip-off. I do know Brandon Ingram will not be playing because of his injury. So 2.5 points is just way too low. I think the Charlotte Hornets need to win this game. Pelicans have lost 3 in a row, including against the Orlando Magic. I love that as well. And then, just for good measure, I'm betting against the Los Angeles Lakers, because how can you not? I'm taking the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards might as well be the Los Angeles Lakers, right? I mean, we got Kyle Kuzma. We got Montrezl Harrell, although Montrezl Harrell isn't there anymore, I believe. Either way, you know how the trade went down. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is there. I'm taking the 4. I think this game is going to be ridiculously low scoring and tightly contested for no reason other than the Lakers' own incompetence. They lost to the Houston Rockets in overtime in an ugly game the last time out. I just think 4 points might be too much in a game where I think they actually match up pretty well against them. So those are my 3. Two dogs in there for you and one close to even money.
I love that. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the dogs. Yeah, man, the Nets. I tell you what, Josh Kelce and those 76ers fans, I didn't like what they saw last night. And that's a first-round matchup. Yikes.
Well, you know, I tried to warn them. I tried to warn them. And hey, you know what? At least they'll get better in the playoffs. Oh, wait, no. They only get worse. What's worse than 0-10 from two, from twos, right? I mean, James Harden didn't even make a layup. And I told you guys, by the way, you and George, real jokes, I told you to take the over in flops. We hit that in the first quarter. First 5 minutes over in flops. My God. Embiid, you're an MVP candidate. You don't need to be doing that. That's it. That's all I'll say.
I loved the moment with KD and him. There's been several moments, but it's a really good rivalry over the years as well. All right, one more break. We'll say goodbye to you, sir. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back on a Monday with you. But we got some NHL picks here next. Keep her locked. Welcome back to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. A handful of games on the ice here tonight. Let's start with my favorite shot prop on the board, and it is Mr. Matthew Boldy of the Minnesota Wild. I can't get enough of this guy. We hit him last night, plus money to have 3 shots. I believe it was plus 120. We had the anytime goal at 3-1. He's down to 250 here tonight to score. This is the second half of a back-to-back. It's okay. Columbus played last night in the second half of a back-to-back and got spanked last night 6-0 against the Islanders. The Blue Jackets are inside the top 5 in shot attempts allowed, goals allowed, high danger chances allowed, scoring chances allowed, and shots allowed at 5-5 per 60 over the last month. Matthew Boldy, he's a guy that's cleared in 3 straight games, at least 3 shots in 3 straight, and 7 of his past 9 games. So I am leading here with Matthew Boldy. And then a couple other shot props that I like here this evening as well. Brock Nelson. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Brock Besser, and then the bonus tier, Evgeny Malkin. Brock Nelson is also a free bet over at ftmbets.com. You can get more free bets by visiting ftmbets.com/free and signing up for our free newsletter. Get access to the tools, the bets, the picks, some articles, all kinds of goodness. But for Brock Nelson, 2.5 shots. This is a guy that's getting a little bit more ice time with Matthew Barzal out of the lineup. He's cleared 2.5 in 5 straight games. And 3 of those games, he had at least 4 shots on goal. Pierre-Luc Dubois is just on a heater, right? He's been amazing this season. 7 straight games, he's had at least 3 shots and 10 of his past 12. I had him last night to get a point. We didn't get it. He's plus 185 to get an assist, which I think is pretty intriguing as well, considering he's playing with a guy named Kyle Connor, who has been absolutely amazing this season. You don't need me to tell you how great Kyle Connor has been this year. And then Brock Besser against the Washington Capitals, a decent price here at minus 110. I think it's because it's against the Caps. The Caps gave up a lot of rubber the other night against the Edmonton Oilers. 2.5 shots is something that he has done in 6 of his past 7. They got Evgeny Malkin there as the bonus, a decent price as well at minus 110. Had 2.5 shots to clear this. He's done it in 6 of his past 8. He had 7 shots on goal in his last game. And also just 3 games before that, he had 6. So we're sitting here with 15 shots in his last 3 games for Evgeny Malkin. And we will take a break. I got some goal scorers for you as well as some straight up picks. So more hockey talk here to get to. Man, I like Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's crushed us a couple times, George, but he's been really, really good to us this season. A heavy, heavy volume shooter, looking like the Pierre-Luc Dubois in the first couple years of his NHL career. Not like last year's Winnipeg Jets, Pierre-Luc Dubois. More hockey talk here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Stick with the hockey talk here on Mean Streets to wrap up the show. A couple picks. Let's start with Tino. Surprise me. What do you got? Picks or goal scorers? Whatever you got. Boom, boom, boom. Goal scorers. All right. So you can parlay these two together. We did it last night with Kyle Connor and Austin Matthews. Both guys minus to score. I actually believe Kyle Connor is plus 124 over at FanDuel. Parlay them together, plus 379. Ovechkin does it tonight, guys. He does it tonight. He passes Jagr for goals scored in the NHL. Kevin Fiala. I just like the soft matchups when it comes to that second line. Fiala, I gave Boldy in the last segment. I think it's still a really good spot against Columbus. Just defensively, they just don't have it. On the other side, Minnesota hasn't really had it defensively either, and in goal. So I think Patrick Laine potentially finds the back of the net. Speaking of not having it, Vegas has not looked good. I wasn't really impressed watching them live. I thought Ottawa took it to them despite the Golden Knights finding a way to win that game. I do like Jack Gensel here. And then Anthony Mantha plus 310. A big fan of Mantha. Plus 110 for a point here. He's got a goal and an assist over his last 2 games, 6 shots. TJ Oshie's minus 110 for a point. He had 3 the other night as well. I like both of those guys. Some stability on that second line now that they're healthy with Nick Backstrom. And then to round out the show, a couple just picks. I think the best play on the board is the over between Minnesota and Columbus. Both teams playing to the over lately. Pittsburgh, we got last night at minus 137. Just wanted to give some love to our bet tracker. You sign up for FTN alerts on the Twitter machine. You get notified right away. Now they're minus 170. Put them in a parlay, maybe with the under. As you see, I got a parlay there towards the end. I just don't think Vegas is going to bring it offensively. And then I really like the Caps that you can get at plus 100 now as well. Like I said, that second line with Backstrom, Mantha, and Oshie, basically without those three all year long. I think the Caps find their way against the Canucks. Roper, we got to get out of here. I do appreciate the comment. The first shot props I put in the bet tracker, the ones I like the most, but I'll start to put 2 units on one of my favorites. My favorite couple to help you out as well. Discord channel is your friend. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.